Today is the 23rd. Press F to pay respects to all the people who got trampled during Black Friday.
Well, this is going up at midnight, so it hasn't happened yet.
It'll be happening as we do
right
it.
Right now. Yeah. You could be watching this as your skull is getting fractured.
Our numbers are going to be terrible because everybody's going to be experiencing the trampling.
Well, they'll be passed out.
I think most of our audience won't go to the... I don't think they're like wait in line kind of people.
But their families might be.
Did you just assume their holiday meat of choice?
I did.
And, you know, they're going to be doing some online shopping, so this could be good background noise while you browse the deals.
Yeah, put those headphones in. Just stream it. You know, YouTube Red, you can pre-download it. Working on fixing the podcast feed.
It's a constant struggle.
YouTube keeps changing stuff.
One thing that you might be doing, you know, it's getting close to the end of the year, right? It's a time to be with your family, but more importantly, to sort of look back on the year. And one of the things you might want to do is clean up all those nudes that you've got on your phone, right? Because you don't want to carry those into the next year with you. You got to leave it behind. But here's some bad news on that topic.
Naked Security by Sophos has this headline. Thought you deleted your iPhone photos? Hackers find a way to get them back.
It's very disappointing if you take naked photos. Or say if you have an unflattering picture of your dog and you're like, oh, my dog wouldn't want me to post this. And so you delete it.
Or a naked picture of your dog.
Oh, that's even more scandalous.
So, it turns out the iPhone will store deleted pictures rather than actually delete deleted pictures. And you can't get to them, but someone who breaks in using an exploit could actually get to that deleted folder and recover those images.
Not good, Apple. Not good. Why you do this?
Well, you know, it's the end of 2018, as we said, and you've probably got hackers in your network, right? Who doesn't? It's the hip thing to do. It's like it's like HPV, right? Do you even date if you don't have HPV?
There are dating websites for that.
So the question is not have you been hacked, but are they still there?
And the answer is yes. But this article from technologyreview.com is the rare form of machine learning that can spot hackers who have already broken in. DarkTrace's unsupervised learning models sound the alarm before intruders can cause serious damage. Now, I've evaluated several products that claim to be able to do this, and usually I'm very skeptical of these kind of claims, so I went out of my way to try to figure out more about DarkTrace and what it has going on here. And there is at least a possibility that maybe this is okay. So what the neural net does is it trains on what normal network activity is. And so anything that is not normal, it will sort of call attention to. So it's not necessarily black flagging it. It's just saying, hey, this is some type of traffic I haven't seen before that's maybe a little different. And it should be something that somebody should look at to see if it's anything malicious.
But it could be a problem if they're already there when you install this.
Yeah.
So it's not... When you say it looks at normal, it looks at normal for you.
Yeah.
It is completely unsupervised, which means there is no data set that they're feeding it at first. This thing is just like it's meeting you for the first time. It knows nothing. It goes in, starts looking at your network, and anything weird happens.
All the traffic. All those packets.
It's like an old lady who lives on your street and just spends all of her day staring out the window.
Jimmy, yeah. What's with all those Russian people going in and out of your house at all hours of the night? It's like Russian people, Grandma?
Are you crazy? And then you realize Grandma's not crazy at all.
And then you realize Putin has control of your PayPal wallet.
Which you don't want. Because he's just buying champagne and caviar all day long. Well, one way that this, that unsupervised AI might help you is if you have a certain kind of Broadcom chip in your router.
Oh, this is like dialing the spectrum to the polar opposite end of that. It's like we're deploying AI. It's like these people can't even be bothered to patch things. So Ars Technica has the headline, 100,000 router botnet is feeding on a 5-year-old UPnP bug in Broadcom chips. Now, the article implies that this is something that Broadcom has not fixed, and I couldn't verify that. It looked to me like that maybe people were downloading old software development kits from Broadcom that did not have the patch. And so there are newer products that are not 5 years old yet that have this vulnerability that have been compromised. So for God's sakes, people, update your router firmware.
Well, you could say that here at Level 1, we're a little bit out of touch with gaming. Because I didn't even know this was even a game. I didn't know this was being released. But here it is, and it's cracked.
Artis Technica Hitman 2's Denuvo DRM cracked days before the game's release. I only know about Denuvo because of getting games running on Linux. Like, I've helped people fix games that I don't even play. And a lot of the time, the game works fine, but the Denuvo DRM is a problem. And so, like, with, I think it was Far Cry 5. Far Cry 5 works great on Linux under, like, Wine and all the accoutrement from Steam, what they're doing with the DXVK. Denuvo, however, in Far Cry 5 does not work fine. So if you pirated Far Cry 5, it works great on Linux.
Doesn't Easy. Far Cry 5 force you to use the Ubi launcher?
Well, to see the pirated version, the people who, like, if you buy Far Cry 5, you have an arguably worse experience than pirating it.
Well, that's true of all these games with Denuvo, because they have shown, without question, that you take a performance hit.
Yeah.
And the pirates don't have to bother with any of that. They don't have to pay. They get it sooner, because this was a pre-release. This was pre-order people who got the game first. So a hacker pre-ordered, hacked it, and released it before the actual launch of the game.
Nice. So it's just so impressive. You're like, surely they wouldn't do that. And yet they did.
It's funny because Denuvo will actually pay out. Like, if that happens, Denuvo loses a lot of money typically in their license agreement for that. Yeah. So,
well, they usually, you want to get at least a week out of Denuvo. Nobody buys Denuvo thinking it's going to work forever.
Yeah.
They're looking for maybe a month if you're really lucky. A week if you're average lucky, but in a case like this...
Hitman 2, super unlucky.
I think that last Assassin's Creed game, they got like a month out of that, maybe.
Yeah.
So.
Well, maybe not even. I don't know.
Well, how about Adobe? Adobe is it's a product that a lot of people use angrily because there are no great alternatives.
Not for some things, but not everything.
Here's one man who might not use it anymore.
Nasty Adobe bug deleted $250,000 worth of man's files, a lawsuit claim. So there was an Adobe Premiere update, and something went wrong with the way that it keeps track of files that it generates for the media cache. And it just started deleting stuff willy-nilly, stuff that had nothing to do with Premiere.
It was okay if you left the media cache in the default folder. But this guy moved his media cache to an external drive because he had a small SSD running his OS. It deleted everything on the external drive.
Which was all of his stuff.
Everything.
That's like the nightmare scenario. Weren't you saying that people like were having to like remake this thread over and over because Adobe's like shutting it down?
On the Adobe forums, it is pandemonium, and Adobe keeps like locking the thread. And
Adobe would never do something like that. They would own up to their mistakes because they're a virtuous company.
Apparently, Adobe did offer to settle with this guy to keep it quiet, but he was just like, no, we're going nuclear on this. So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out.
Do you think they offered him the whole $250,000?
No, I think they offered him less than that. I'd say they probably offered him about $10,000 and a free lifetime subscription. And he was just like, I will.
Yeah, no. Here's have a subscription to our buggy software. You're welcome.
A tour of the Adobe office. Some t-shirts.
Maybe some of those pillows. I'd like to have some of those Adobe pillows where it's like the Adobe
icons. Oh, like the icons?
Yeah.
Well, they want like $50 a piece for that?
Yeah, we're not doing that.
So, but
think how good it'd look in the studio, though.
I know.
They talk about, what's the word? It's something fatigue. It's like when the news is just so bad for so long.
Battle fatigue.
You get jaded to it. It's kind of like that.
That's kind of how I feel about most of the news.
Well, that's true. And I mean, the political picture right now, for sure. Like horrible things happen, and you're just like, whatever. That's exactly how I feel about this story.
Security fatigue. Yeah. The headline from ZDNet is, researchers discover 7... new Meltdown and Spectre attacks. Experiments showed that processors from AMD, ARM, and Intel are affected. There's a lot more. Well, there's a lot to this story, and there's a lot more to this story, and there's a lot more coming. So we'll probably have a follow-up story next week. But the Linux kernel 4.20 has a lot of patches for this from Intel, and the performance regressions are insane, like 30% insane. Well, it depends on your workload, but it's really bad. So I'm hoping that Google or somebody that knows what they're doing will come out with a set of patches to deal with these, like they did the first set, that isn't so bad in terms of performance loss. Intel is definitely affected much more than AMD so far in this class of vulnerability. So it'll be interesting to see if AMD holds up as well in this new round.
But you think this is anywhere near the bottom?
No.
No.
This hardware was never designed to be hardened this way.
Yeah, so who knows when we'll ever see the end of all these. This is ridiculous.
We even found Spectre and Meltdown. Well, researchers found Spectre and Meltdown type vulnerabilities in graphics cards.
So not even the Monero mining is safe.
Yeah.
Terrible. You know what else might not be safe? This might be a little bit of a clickbaity headline from Popular Mechanics.
The F-35's greatest vulnerability isn't enemy weapons, it's being hacked.
I wonder if the F-35 has Meltdown and Spectre vulnerabilities.
It probably doesn't have a chip that powerful on it.
It's too old.
So no, it's brand new. This is the new one.
It's old.
Like the whole tank roster against Sombra.
These are the
vulnerable to hacking.
The hot new jets. So like, not only these jets were designed for the modern military, right? So where we are engaged in military right now, there is no air power. Right? I mean, Syria. They got some Russian MiGs that are mostly rust. And so this is more of like a air-to-ground weapons platform. So this can actually, this will not out-dogfight most modern jets. And a lot of people are like, whoa, shouldn't our state-of-the-art jet out-dogfight all the other jets in the world? And it's like, nah, we don't have to fight anybody that's got good jets. Like Russia or China. But it also is completely plugged into the battlefield. And it knows, it's got full awareness. But the problem is, you're letting things in.
Its a computer system is vulnerable, it turns out. Insanely, insanely vulnerable. So even other people that are buying the F-35 from us, all of that telemetry is going to, you know, Lockheed or somewhere. And so the people that are buying it are like, hey, are people going to be able to figure out what we're doing with our maneuvers and exercise since you guys are analyzing the data from all these jets? And the answer is, oh, yeah, yeah, that was part of the plan.
But it does have, interestingly, like each pilot, each F-35 pilot has like a universal pin. And you can't hotwire one of these puppies. And it actually will report back who just started up an F-35. So, you know, it's totally locked in with all that stuff. But again, it just creates another always on. And plus, what if we get EMP'd?
Well, those F-35s aren't
again, like the tank
gonna,
roster.
Well, I mean, what if we've got some in like an underground bunker somewhere?
Wasn't that part of the plot of like Independence Day? It's like when the aliens came, the only thing that worked were like the ancient jets that they just had that were borderline ceremonial. Like, we're going to have to go to the Smithsonian and fuel this thing up and get it in the air.
We didn't learn anything from that movie. I don't know if they have fingerprint systems in the F-35. They might, but we certainly have fingerprints on all of our phones and, you know, that kind of thing. We use it for banking sometimes. And just how secure is the fingerprint? Well, maybe not as much as you think.
This is shockingly scary. So, like, for any of you computer science students in the audience, this is the birthday problem. But they've created the birthday problem with the commonalities in fingerprints. And so these fake, the headline is fake fingerprints can imitate real ones in biometric systems. So an adversarial AI was trained with lots of pictures of fingerprints for the things that are in common. And so a fingerprint sensor can be fooled with a fake fingerprint that has all of the common features of like the most common fingerprints. And so typically I think the collision, I don't remember the collision rate, like the normal fingerprint collision rate.
It should be one in a thousand.
Like thousands or whatever, yeah.
One in a thousand should collide. This takes it down to one in five.
Yeah, so that's a pretty substantial. Fingerprint is not secure at all.
Now, one of the things about it is because of the, you know, your thumb is round. This is not the flat thumb society. So when you put it over a fingerprint scanner, you kind of roll it, you know, and it's not looking at your entire fingerprint all at once. And you're hitting it at different spaces.
Places, yeah.
So the fingerprint scanner actually breaks it down into the quadrants. It doesn't read your entire fingerprint all at once. So what this thing is doing is it's putting together all of the most common quadrants into one, like, Uber print. And that's just the most basic bitch common fingerprint in the universe.
The Uber print.
And you couldn't target a specific person with that because, you know, it's just random. But if you're hitting a system with, you know, like a dictionary attack of fingerprints, you're going to reduce your misses by several orders of magnitude.
How long till I could 3D print some things I could put on a latex glove and go to a crime scene and leave all kinds of fingerprints behind that'll match literally anybody?
That's the other interesting thing this thing did, because you know the banana sticker problem we always talk about? The previous tricky fingerprints were like the banana sticker, where if a human looked at it, they'd be like, no one's fingerprint looks like that, because there's like all jagged lines and stuff. This one actually smooths those out and makes it much more realistic to the human eye.
So it reached round two in the arms race of AI versus AI.
It's the perfect fingerprint.
You know, you probably shouldn't count on fingerprints. So instead of fingerprints, you better go to two-factor. Oh, wait.
A leaky database of SMS text messages exposed password resets for two-factor codes. So this is a screw-up. This is the third-party service provider called VoxVox.
VoxVox.
Let's all just keep saying it over and over.
VoxOx. I don't know how to pronounce that.
Yeah.
But so, like, let's say that you're an application writer, and it's okay that you haven't heard of them because it's really bad news, because you probably have used them and you just don't realize it. Let's say that you're an application developer and you need to interface with the SMS. You have to go to a service provider to do that, like T-Mobile, and you know, wireless companies don't really make it easy for you to do that. So you have to go to a service provider like this company, which will provide your program a way to talk to phones and actually send those two-factor messages. Well, it turns out they keep copies of all of those messages from now until the end of time, which is probably, like, there's no legit reason they should have been doing that in the first place. So this is super disappointing on a number of levels.
Not only do they keep copies, not big fans of using passwords.
Well, who needs those?
Yeah. Why would a two-factor company ever think about using a password?
It's not important.
That's really bad.
Yeah. And one other place where you might think that security is better than it is banking.
Most ATMs can be hacked in under 20 minutes. What most people don't realize is that an ATM is actually a system of about 20 or 30 different things, and these guys were really good about finding some little vulnerability in any of those things. So it's like, the ATM is secure, and it's like, well, the terminal is secure, but the receipt printer, it's like Typhoid Mary.
The most terrifying thing in this article for me was that the keypad and the card reader sometimes communicate wirelessly with the Windows XP machine inside. Like, what? We couldn't run a cable?
Literally just in the cabinet.
Yeah. Why couldn't we do that? No one gets to see it. So, yeah, they hacked them in a variety of ways, a staggering variety of ways, but no single ATM gave them enough of a problem that they couldn't overcome it with some other kind of attack.
Yeah, so it's like 20 to 23 minutes to hack most ATMs.
And that included, not only that was just like stealing your information or skimming your card, sometimes it was, you know, give me money.
And the ATM was like, okay.
What a time to be alive.
What a time to be alive. But you know who might not be alive for much longer? Our children using the MeSafe's watch device.
Oh, they're going to get human trafficked.
MeSafe's child tracking smartwatches are easy to hack. And these store the children's location, everywhere they've been, their personal information.
Photo.
Oh, yeah, photo. So, you know, they can really...
You know what to look for when you're going to get them in the unmarked panel van?
Well, yeah. You know, that's the thing where, like, you know, you train your kids, don't talk to strangers, but then it's also like, if they don't know your name, or if they don't know who I am, or, you know, blah, 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 you train your kids. Because if there's an emergency, maybe you're going to send Aunt Helen that they've never met or whatever, you know. And this would give you all the information. Because I think probably the payment information's in there, too. So you know mom and dad's name. You know the kid's name. You know where they were earlier that day. You know what their picture looks like, so you can target them. And you're like, oh, hey, little Billy, have you just been to the aquarium? Something terrible has happened to your mom. John Smith and Jane Doe, come with me. And the kid's like, all right.
Yeah, it's really bad. Really, really bad.
This is a Chinese company. So this is BBC. The researcher who discovered this, he was using that Shodan. What's the name of the search engine for open up?
Oh, yeah, I can't remember.
I think it's Shodan, right?
Yeah.
So he found this, and he was like, oh. And then that was a way that you could hack into the service, because this is a service on a website or on your phone where you can track your kids. Then he got a hold of one of these devices. He hacked the device, and he was like, oh, my God, there's no security here at all. So he tried to contact this Chinese company, and they just wouldn't answer the phone. Like, I think somebody talked to him, and as soon as he told him what he was about, They hung up on him and wouldn't answer again. Then the BBC tried to get a hold of him. No answer. And then some sort of, you know, oversight committee in Europe tried to get a hold of him. Again, not answering the phone.
Oops.
Where's your kid? I mean, I guess maybe your kid has more autonomy, but, like, where's your kid going to be that, like, there's not some form of adult supervision?
A lot of places. That's one of my biggest complaints, or people complain about, like, you know, when you see those signs where it's like, children at play, drive slowly. Listen, asshole. If your kid might be playing in the road and you're not paying attention, suddenly that's my problem? No.
Ryan also told me that he wanted to get a car because he has to go fast. So.
Yeah, and they're putting speed bumps up, and I want to get a low-clearance car. That could cause damage to the skid plate, and it's not right. Well, it's kind of nice in this day and age when you get a security story that turns out that it might not actually be a security event.
There was a thing posted to Pastebin, so Bleeping Computer has this article. Hackers say that they have compromised ProtonMail, and ProtonMail says it's BS. So there's this long Pastebin that's very long.
It's kind of a shit post, if we're being honest.
The best part is here.
Yeah, so yeah. The ProtonMail replied to this, and they're like, this is BS, one, because it doesn't work like that. But two, a closer reading of some of the claims, e.g. circumventing the Geneva Convention, underwater drone activities in the Pacific Ocean, and possible international treaty violations in Antarctica, should also cause a reasonable observer to draw the same conclusion. So it starts off reasonable, and then just sort of descends into a troll, and it's like, oh, I've wasted 5 minutes of your time.
Yeah, the TLDR there is that baited. That's all you need to know. Nice. And people fell for it. Just like you'll fall for these hot new handbags.
Fall? Is it because it's fall?
Yeah, it's a new season. Well, hot new handbags.
You know, I was just going to say, Krista, and yes, I'm assuming your gender, but as the only female presence in Level 1 Techs, how excited are you for these handbags that change color?
Considering I hadn't bought a new purse in probably two years.
Let's talk about why you bought a new purse.
We talked about it last week on the news. So I carry my little iPad around.
Oh, your little iPad.
It's not so little.
Your new baby.
It's 12.9. It's pretty big.
I literally got a downvote on the Linux stream for mentioning an Apple device. Because the Linux, you know, the hardcore Linux people.
Are you going to, like, bring that up for the next 5 years? Like, just casually in conversation? Like, hey, Krista, remember that time that I got a downvote?
Just the one.
Yeah, just the one.
So here they are. Years. This is not very dramatic. It's just a little bit.
It's subtle. It's subtle.
But they got this, I wouldn't call it thread. Filament, maybe?
Yeah.
Would be a better name for it. It has to be able to carry an electrical current. And so it's not super soft. So you're not going to be making t-shirts out of it or panties. But maybe someday they'll make it softer. And it does have to have a battery as well.
And probably a Bluetooth connection. Paging the internet of crap. The internet, you're needed for a cleanup on aisle handbag.
A couple of years ago, I think the Met Gala, they did like a technology theme. The only person who stuck to it was someone who had like a fiber optic dress, and it was incredible. Imagine if they'd had that technology then. They could have had a very stiff, weird-looking, color-changing dress. That
you know
would
what?
Very impressive.
You know what this would be super useful for, though? Like, let's say, for whatever reason, you had to walk through gang territory in Los Angeles. You could, like, based on GPS of where you are, it could switch from red to blue. And you don't have to worry about getting shot.
It looks like that just went from white to pink, so I don't know if they have that kind of like dramatic color change, but...
Well, maybe like, you know, just from a...
What if you just wear purple?
If millions of people buy that, it will be like, we will refine that technology.
You can't do purple. No. Don't suggest that, Christy. You'll get somebody killed. Did we cover the story? I think we did.
We covered this story, like, if you don't remember... We first covered this story, and it was like, and it was like, you know, cautionary tale. But your stance on it was like, no, this whole thing is fraud. And I don't know how you knew, but you knew.
I don't even remember knowing. But yeah, this is just another example of why you should stay away from the GoFundMes and the Kickstarters of the world. So if you don't remember, the story was this young lady here ran out of gas.
She said she ran out of
gas. And you see they're at the gas station. That's where they took this picture. And then this homeless veteran here, this gentleman, only had $20 to his name. He gave her that $20. You know, actually, that's the first red flag. Don't you think $5 would get her home? Why would you give her the whole $20?
Well, she might be driving a V8. You don't know.
Well, even then, I mean, how far does she have to go? And so he gave her his last cent to get her gas to take her home. She was so moved by his generosity, they took him in and started a GoFundMe to get him help.
The whole thing was a conspiracy. Literally everything
was made
up. Yeah,
everything was... It wasn't even just a little bit.
No, completely made up. They got something like $400,000.
They're going to the pokey for 5 to 10 years.
Yep, brought in over $400,000. They had a goal of $10,000, but it was such a heartwarming story. And so that was their picture before.
This they don't look so happy now.
I got shaved his epic beard.
Her hair is brown now.
Well, she can't get her... oh, wait a minute.
Her hair is blonde up there.
Eh, it's dishwater. Mm. So, yeah, it turns out... Now, here's the crazy part about it. The homeless guy was in on it from the beginning.
Yeah.
But...
He is a vet.
Yeah, he is a homeless vet. That's true. But they kind of froze him out a little bit because he might have been spending the money on drugs. That might also be true. And they only ended up giving him about $75,000 out of $400,000. So that's not even a third, right? He felt a little shorted by that. So he sued them, knowing that the whole thing was fraud. And that's when it began to unravel.
Womp womp.
Not the smartest criminals. Pro criminal tip. Don't do this.
Well, speaking of criminals being stopped, maybe if you include the fantasy world, one man who was more responsible for criminals being stopped than anybody else in the universe, Stan Lee, creator of superheroes.
He died.
95.
He Look made at, it a long he, time.
This
he a,
is
He had a good run.
Marvel Civil War was how long ago? Like 2-3 years?
Yep.
So this is him at 92?
Yeah.
That is a dapper man at 92.
Yeah. He's looking pretty good there.
Yeah.
I think, I don't know how true this is, but I had read articles prior to his death that, like, mentally he was starting to lose it a little bit.
Well, 95. I mean, yeah. Jesus, that is a long run.
Well, and some people were wondering if they were, like, taking advantage of him.
Probably were. Because I imagine he was retired, right? But I'm sure he still got some residuals from all those movies.
Yeah.
He had still had a piece of the company.
Yeah. Well, he showed up in all the end credit scenes.
I think that they estimated his estate is worth about $70 million.
Wow. Yeah.
So
that even seems low.
Yeah.
It must be like he must be getting like 0.5% or something.
He really enjoyed his work. And,
well, you know.
You know, especially early on, like he didn't own the rights to a lot of stuff that he came up with really early on because he was, you know, just, it was a. Because
Marvel didn't care about him.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or any of their other artists they work with.
He was prolific in every sense of the word, I think.
Seemed like you didn't really hear about anybody who had like creative differences with him that much. He wasn't ever Me Too'd. He seemed like a genuinely okay guy.
I like, there's a video of him meeting with some people to come up with like comic book heroes, and he really did not like what they were coming up with, and he was still super nice about it, and he asked them questions that in retrospect, if they really thought about what he was asking them, that he was really advising them, but it was not non-confrontational, because but he was being super nice about it. I thought it was really interesting.
Well, I mean, 50 years of creating superheroes, you're going to get good at it, I would think.
Yeah.
Well, you know, maybe comic books are not to some people's tastes. You know, we are getting a little overloaded with the comic book world. But you know what is to everybody's taste? A good cheese.
That's your white privilege talking.
Oh, that's true. I forgot about the dairy being racist.
I love that's my favorite stereotype of white people, that we smell like dairy.
Now, Krista, we know about you that you enjoy a good cheese, but you are afraid of the cheese counter.
Yes. I don't know if we were talking about this on the Level 1 News program, but I went to the cheese counter at the grocery store, and I didn't realize there was going to be an attendant, and he asked me a question. And I just rocked away. I was scared. I didn't want to talk to him. I just wanted to browse the cheese and grease.
A literal real-life Ree moment.
Yeah, it was just, well, I didn't say that. I just was like, oh, no, and just walked away.
Well,
somebody needs to turn that into a green text.
Oh, no.
In the EU, there has been a horrible battle over cheese. I don't know if this is the actual cheese. I think this might be a stock photo.
Oh, yeah. It's definitely a stock photo.
Yeah.
But it's hard to figure out the name. So it's
cream cheese and herb. It was a cream cheese and herb flavored cheese.
Yeah, yeah. Spreadable cream cheese and herb dip. Mm. And I don't know how you pronounce that. Produced by Lavola. And they argued that Whittle... Vegan cost?
There are some cheese snobs who are just getting triggered right now.
Yeah. And so anyway... One cheese tasted a little bit too much like other cheese, and they sued them, literally over the taste of their cheese.
They lost.
Thank God.
It was a giant waste of time.
Oh, just hit the mic.
Yeah, oh. Hit the microphone. Oh, no. People are going to complain. But yeah, can you imagine a world where taste is a copyright?
I mean, they do. Like, labs make flavors and smells and stuff. I don't know how copyright defendable those are.
But cheese is not created in a lab. Cheese is like a cultured thing. Yeah. So how could you perfectly emulate cheese?
What if this sets a precedent, though?
We should
is a whole like industry in jeopardy now because this sets
a precedent? Well, they talked about Kit Kat tried. I don't think it was the taste as much as it was the format of like the breaking off of the wafers. They also lost.
That's not a lab. It's too common. In this case, taste is too subjective.
And taste is very subjective when it comes to YouTube. And who is the top dog of YouTube? One man has claimed that. What was it, been like 5 years?
Yeah, a long time.
On top, but his reign has ended.
PewDiePie's tumultuous reign over YouTube is almost over. T-Series, which is India's T-Series channel.
Long may they reign.
Yeah. So they've been adding about 3 million subscribers a month, so they have passed him.
T-Series sounds like a medical test.
We watched some videos on T-Series before we started this episode.
It was different.
It was very, very Indian, very Bollywood.
Not my taste, but it really is just music videos, which is funny because...
It's like Vivo.
Like, our music video channels, like, people are less interested in music videos than ever now, right?
Yeah.
Remember when the hot days of MTV?
Yeah.
Music videos were huge business. Now they're not. But in India... Apparently they are.
I wonder if that's what's messing with the YouTube algorithm, because it's like, wow, 70 million people really want these 3-minute videos. And it's like, oh, I don't think level one's ever going to be able to do 3-minute videos that are coherent. It's going to be level two text all the time.
Maybe we should switch to the Indian language.
I don't think any of us would be capable of that.
Well, speaking of taste, if you like taking a trip to flavor country, specifically... menthol flavor country. Times are bad. You might want to do some stockpiling.
Yeah, the FDA is seeking a ban on menthol cigarettes to fight teen smoking, but also flavored...
cigars.
Cigars and flavored vaping and that sort of thing.
This is... Well, first of all, we talk about this all the time, but this is one of those just bullshit, save the children. Children aren't any more likely... If you get rid of menthol cigarettes, do you think kids are still not going to think it's cool to smoke cigarettes?
I didn't know a lot of people who smoked menthols.
Well, there is a group that overwhelmingly smokes menthol cigarettes. Made popular by Mr. Tupac Shakur.
I was just going to say women in general. Usually, like, the people I know who smoke them are usually women.
No, it's the black community.
No.
And one of the worst kinds of white knighting is what the FDA is doing here. Because think about this logically. The underlying message here is that black people are so stupid that they don't understand that the cigarette companies are taking advantage of them by selling them flavored cigarettes. They're just like, I need cigarettes that taste good. And somehow they're not capable of making that conscious decision. So we have to make it for them.
Or children or whatever is the case maybe.
Well, I mean, kids makes more sense because kids are stupid.
All kids are stupid.
Yeah, but not all black people are stupid. But that's what the FDA would have us believe with this nonsense. But they'll get away with it. You know they will.
Are you sure this isn't more like, whatever, we'll take the menthols off, but at least we'll get rid of vaping? Is this more of a targeting toward vaping?
So they talk about, they mention several things here.
Because I know a lot of people of all demographics who vape.
Big tobacco does not like the technology of vaping. That is known.
It's arguably safer. Have we gotten good studies that said that vaping is terrible?
Vaping is only terrible when you have the vapor like turned insanely way high, and then you can get like swamp lung.
Or if you have nicotine in it.
But here they talk about, for decades, data have. Isn't data singular? I guess it doesn't matter. Shown that the tobacco industry successfully and intentionally marketed mentholated cigarettes to African Americans, and particularly African American women, as replacement smokers. Like, they can't make a decision about whether to smoke or not.
That was from the NAACP. So, yeah, but the FCC or the FDA is like,
Well, it is.
DRM. The headline for this one is DRM will literally kill you.
I was going to say, speaking of not being able to breathe.
Yeah, that's where I was going with it. It's like, if you love your menthols, You know, we're not defending cigarettes. Because if you love your menthols, you're probably on the short track to a CPAP machine. And that's going to be a whole new world of problems when you get there.
Yeah, I'm possibly alive because it exists. It turns out the CPAP machines have this really horrible draconian DRM. And at least in U.S. law, there is now a narrow exception for hacking them because, well, medical data. And so there's this whole, like, cottage industry around hacking your CPAP and calibrating it and tuning it and tweaking it for your particular needs, because the industry just doesn't do that and doctors don't do that because ain't nobody got time for that.
So it's hilarious because doctors apparently, like, they'll give you the CPAP machine, but they won't calibrate it for you. Even though these things have so much telemetry, like they have Facebook levels of telemetry. And if the doctor really sat down and was like, well, we should probably tweak this, this, and this, but they won't. They don't care. They're just, you know, next patient. So there's CPAPtalk.com and apneaboard.com. And this is a community of people who will help you put together your personalized CPAP profile and hack your machine to apply that profile.
Nice.
And there's one guy, an Australian guy, who is hacking the DRM. And that's like just his mission in life.
Can I get an RGB CPAP machine?
Well, you're sleeping.
For pro gaming.
There was an RGB CPAP machine in the thumbnail. Like,
yeah, if you scroll up, there's an animated.
Yeah, I don't know if that one really
exists. That could be you.
It's like an 8-bit.
Yeah, it's putting magic dust in your lungs.
Literally.
I think Barnacles has one of these. He should get to hacking on it.
What if it's working for him?
He should risk his life.
Well, he needs the data to be sure that he's not risking his life. Isn't that the point?
Yeah, well, that's
he'll be sleeping better.
The woman in the article that they interviewed, she talked about how hers just didn't help her at all. And then this Australian came into her life and was like, oh, you have this special kind of sleep apnea. You should be running this profile. And it was just night and day. So...
DIY medicine because no one else cares.
How long till they lock that guy up?
In Australia? Probably not long.
Nintendo sues him for $12 million.
They'll take him out the side door.
Well, here in the U.S., we're going to be enjoying some delicious turkey and celebrating our freedoms and conquering a new land. And none of you get to do that because none of you did that.
Well, technically, we didn't either. But
I think they had their equivalent of Thanksgiving like last month or something.
They don't get fall a Thanksgiving. Festival. They don't deserve one. But what we won't be able to enjoy that you will is the new kilogram.
Oh, yeah, because we don't do kilograms here. Yeah. So this is big news because they're redefining what a kilogram is. It's based on really the Planck constant now. And they've got an apparatus for calculating what the kilogram is mechanically. Using an electric current.
A Kibler. Was it Kibler?
I thought it was just Kibble.
Kibble scale, I think. Kibble balance.
Kibble balance. So there you go. The electric current is the thing that they're measuring. So the weight doesn't matter, obviously. But if you have a Kibble scale, you can dial in this number of current and guaranteed get 1 kilogram that you can measure against. Now, previously, we'd used Legrand K, which was just an old kilogram weight locked in a vault somewhere.
Yeah, but it turns out that that has changed slightly over the last forever.
Yeah, I imagine it's, you know, gets nicked and banged and oxidized.
I'm kind of excited about mathematically determining a weight because that seems more proper anyway.
Nerd.
What's going to happen during the EMP?
Oh, that would be bad.
Yeah.
It's going to be back to the
Stone Age. Are you really worried about, like, weighing things down by the kilogram?
Yeah, because you got to go back to, you know, like that kind of exchange for money. Weights and measures.
Or you just start bartering.
Well, you start shaving the edges off coins like in the old Roman days.
You got to knurl the edges. That's why you do that. Defeat the shavers. And you know who else might? If we didn't have knurled coins now, you know who would be shaving the edges off of them?
Wells Fargo. Because they will go that far.
This is unreal. Wells Fargo, shareholders can't sue us because they should have known we were lying.
That is the actual legal defense that they entered, was that our CEO said that we were going to be more honest and transparent about stuff. He was not serious about that. That's their actual legal defense.
You would be stupid to assume that a deal this good was real, basically. Yeah. So puffery. Had you ever heard the word puffery?
Nope.
I mean, I would think if you said to me, hey, what's puffery? I'm thinking sex act, right? Before I read this article.
I was thinking Pokemon.
So puffery, that's good. Yeah, puffery could be
puffery,
a Pokemon.
Yeah.
Puffery, it turns out, is the act of making a claim so bold in your advertising that people cannot believe that it's real. For example, the coldest beer in town, right? Who measures it, right? It's just nonsense. So
the most honest bank.
Yeah, basically.
More honest.
The world's greatest burger. Who decides, right? So that kind of thing is puffery. It's a lie, but it's such an outrageous lie that you can't be sued for it. So that's what Wells Fargo is saying about the terms of loans.
Well, totally the same thing. Really. Yeah, right. You know, because I care, you know, if I have an insane rate on my loan or I have a slightly cold beer. You know, it's the same level of discomfort if it's not true.
I really, if that works out for them as an actual legal defense, I just...
Well, it sets a hell of a precedent.
Yeah.
It?
Yeah. Well, they should have known I was lying.
Too big to fail?
Why shouldn't they have known that I was lying when I signed that contract? I can't pay this back. You should have known that.
Why doesn't it ever work for the little man? I don't understand.
It did that one time. Remember the Bank of America guy who changed it and got him to sign it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I don't think they'll let that happen again, though. Well, you know who else might get caught up in maybe some online dealings that seem too good to be true? I think this might be the kind of guy who would send money to the Nigerian prince were he to ever touch a computer.
The Japan cybersecurity minister admits shunning PCs and doesn't know what a USB drive is.
Not a proud day for the nation of Japan.
There he is.
Oh.
Now, the best thing about this guy is how incredulous he is about this whole thing. Because the reporters, as you might imagine, were like,
excuse me?
You're the cybersecurity guy. How could you not use computers? And he was like, did I stutter, bitch? My aides do my computing for me.
I like to imagine he was speaking Japanese and switched to English.
But he didn't, like, it's not that he didn't know USB means universal serial bus. He didn't know what a USB drive did. He didn't know the function. It was like, what are these things? And he's like, I don't know.
Like, if you handed it to him, he wouldn't know where to put it.
Do I start a car with this?
Well, the question from the reporters was, are USB drives used inside nuclear facilities? Because there have been security issues around that. It's like the whole Iranian thing where we destabilized their centrifuges or whatever. USB drives. And so the question for him was, hey, Japan, nuclear... Are our nuclear facilities secure? And he's like, yes. And they're like, well, so do we not use USB drives inside the nuclear facility? And he's just like, what?
He's apparently in a previous press conference some time ago, they had asked him about some other tech-related thing. And he was like, I have no idea what you're talking about. You know, he's very frank about it.
It's weird, though, because it's not like some sort of niche technology or, you know, something that's outside of his purview. It's literally like the most basic, like... Even my mom knows what a USB drive is.
But think, so here's the thing about it. Here's like a little thought experiment. This guy goes into an office every day. What does he do?
Direct other people.
Oh, but, that's a good point because he doesn't have a computer.
Yeah, he's just sitting at a desk.
He's like that Spider-Man picture where he's just in front of his own portrait.
Like, what do you do? Fine. You know, maybe you spend a couple hours a day. He's like, all right, you're going to do this and you're going to do this and, you know, file these reports. But then... Like, if you're not looking at emails or whatever, maybe. Just
how do you consume information?
I guess they print them out for him.
Probably.
But that's so slow.
Well, listen, that's how he rolls.
We should get him an iPad.
I don't think the gesture UI would be kind to that man.
Are we going to have to get him a new purse to carry it around in?
A merce is the proper term if it's for a man.
It might be more acceptable in Japan. Well. You know, we always put the most nonsensical story at the end, and admittedly, this one has nothing to do with technology.
What's not acceptable is in this story.
There are videos of this on YouTube, so it does have a very slight tangential relationship.
And it is from ladbible.com, so it's like, okay, questionable URL, but it does seem like people might be doing this.
I will also point out that those videos are monetized.
Well, they're offering a great service. So your interest is piqued. You're like, what could this be? Well, of course, it's boiling sanitary pad water to get high.
Ladbible.com. Yeah.
So and if you're thinking, what's a sanitary pad? It's a menstrual pad.
Yeah, yeah. This is what
They're chemicals.
Well, I think most people, you think our audience knows about this?
You put this in your underwear so that way you don't bleed on yourself.
Why is there a tooth shape on this one?
That's probably just extra. That's like an overnight pad.
Yeah, but look, this looks like a tooth. With
well, I don't know why
cavity.
They put the weird looks, designs on like it. I think that's roots. Extra absorbency areas.
Oh, okay. Mm. Right. So now here's, you're thinking to yourself, I got to get in on this, right? Well, here's the thing about it. You don't have to, it doesn't have to be used.
Thank goodness.
But if you're a homeless person in the street doing this to get high, it's probably going to be
used. It does seem like, yeah, the kids who are doing this in Indonesia probably are using used ones, which is, it's a level of disgusting that we probably shouldn't even get into. I mean,
it's a new record.
I mean, I'm a girl and I don't like talking about it.
No
like
one
it's,
does.
It's something I have to do once a month. And it's, ugh.
It's one of those things that is better left not talked about in society. But to take the results of that, boil it, and drink the results,
that's amazing. It's just a step too far.
So the next question is, of course, how? How does this get you high? No one is sure. But the best theory seems to be that something in the pad results in chlorine when it's boiled.
Mm.
Do you think... So, you know how we have crappier cold medicine because of methamphetamine?
Yes.
Do you think that we're going to get crappier pads?
That's yes. actually that's actually an issue in third world countries. It's like getting hold of pads in general.
Well, that's why they're getting them from the dumpster, I guess.
Well, no, I'm saying like if you're a girl and you're menstruating, like you might not have access to pads. Then you have to miss school for like a week. And so like it's a big problem. So they've been trying to figure out different solutions for it. And this is just probably going to make that even worse.
Well, what you could do is... After you use them, you sell them and offset the cost.
That would be popular in Japan for other reasons.
Oh.
With that, we're going to... That's the end of level one.
You don't want to keep talking about tampons and pads?
No. We got some affiliate links in the description for VPNs and Patreon because this was definitely demonetized.
You raised an interesting question, Krista. Do you think tampons will get you high?
Probably not. If it's chlorine that's being released by this thing.
Why wouldn't they have chlorine? Well, I guess you'd have to make those
think about
much
that for
purer.
A minute.
Yeah.
Think
even
about
though,
it.
Even then, though, like that's a part of your body that you know, membranes and osmosis.
You're changing them pretty often.
Okay. Well. All right.
All right. Everyone, think about that.
And that should be good because you know this is midnight on Friday. You just had your Thanksgiving leftovers.
Now you're thinking about that. It's like when we go into poop talk.
You just dug into a big bowl of cranberry sauce.
If you want more of this kind of stuff, the $19 a month Patreon tier has a podcast where we talk about random crap.
Hopefully.
Not related to technology.
Hopefully not quite. Well, I don't know. We talked about Hepe last
this
time.
This would have been a podcast story if we didn't cover it on the news.
Yeah.
Shouldn't this be the begging?
Oh, yeah, I guess.
Yeah, there you go. The hype jar.
Both of those. I don't know. I thought it was this because Krista was explaining to us about that
she's
technology.
She's red-pilling us. Literal red pill. Get it? The crimson pill. All right, we got to stop.
Okay, bye.
We go now.